This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu. ونستحده ونستغفره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Beginning by praising the Almighty, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and peace and blessings upon us, walhamdulillah, and upon all of those who are seeking Allah's guidance, that they might be guided aright, and that they might be blessed to see the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the seal of all of the prophets. And that, alhamdulillah, that Allah might join all of us in the deen of Islam and to enter us into His Jannah, His paradise forever. Ameen. Today, brothers and sisters, I want to try to give you a gift that was given to me many, many years ago. But I want to begin by reminding you that in the greatest work that any of human beings can engage in, greatest work, is to save the life of someone. And maybe we think about saving someone's life, we think about they were having a heart attack, or maybe they were having some stroke or something, and you were able to intervene to save them from death. But there's another kind of life saving. And that life-saving is to take someone from the worship of the creation to worshiping the Creator. To stop worshiping, wa na'udhu billah, their race. You know, they call them racists. Help me out, brother. Inshallah, for the technical among us, I think we need a battery. I think the microphone needs a battery. But alhamdulillah, there are people, we call them racists, because they are defined by their worship of their race. There are people that we call sexist. Their defining characteristic is that they worship their gender. Whether you call them male chauvinist or feminist, the most important defining characteristic for them is that their belief in what is important and what is central in their life is to maintain that. Maybe there are some people, we call them capitalists. Their preoccupation in life, al-hakum al-takathur hatta zurtum al-maqabir, is to run to acquire wealth. And they would define themselves proudly to say, I am a capitalist. There are so many ways that people define themselves. And maybe for us who define ourselves as being those who submit their will to the will of their Creator, that definition, Muslim, that definition, alhamdulillah, is the greatest definition of any human identity. Not to say I'm black, that's not the best definition. It only defines something temporary about me, or that I'm white. But the enduring reality is that as a Muslim, one who submits themselves to the will of their Lord and Creator, is an eternal identity. Now, what can we do with it? The mission of all of the prophets was simply to convey that message to as many people as they could possibly communicate with. Their job, please take care of my baby. Alhamdulillah, don't let her cry. You know, subhanAllah, one of the shayukh, he said, we know in the example of the Prophet ﷺ, best example, that when there was his grandsons, Hassan and Hussein, they were climbing on his head during Salah. You don't have any citation of him saying, tell those children don't come to the masjid anymore. There's no citation of that. The companions, when they finished the Salah, they said, ya Rasulullah, we noticed you stayed in sujood for a long time. He said, because of these two, they were on his head. So alhamdulillah, the Prophet was very enduring. If the child was crying, he would shorten the salah so that we could attend to the Muslims of the next generation. So alhamdulillah, for me to know that the greatest job is of every prophet to convey the message. And if you are a follower of them, then your assignment in life is to convey the message of what people should be worshiping, obeying, following, joining in a connection with throughout their lives, that they might be successful in this life and in the hereafter. This means for many of us, the first form of dawah is from our akhlaq, our example. According to the Council on American Islamic Relations, they said the average American will never, the average American will never meet a Muslim. The only Muslim that they, many of them will see, who live in Iowa or Idaho and these other way far away parts of the country with their very low population, New Mexico, very low population density. Many of them, the only Muslims that they see are on television. And usually when they're on television, they're shown in the worst light. You and I who live in cities have a great opportunity. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was a walking Quran. He was a walking Quran. If your neighbors are going to see the Quran, the first one that they should see, bi'idhnillah, is in you. Walking like the Quran and talking like the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many people will tell you, I accepted Islam because I had a friend. And because I saw that friend of my co-worker or the neighbor, it made me interested in Islam. And sometimes it is because they are watching you when you don't know that they're watching. They look around and they say, I notice that you're not eating. What's that about? And you know, as Ana Amriki Al Aslan, I'm an original American, born in Brooklyn. Americans are very inquisitive. They might even be nosy. They ask you a personal question. If you're from a society that has been Muslim for a long time, you have good manners. You don't ask people like personal questions who are not close to you. In America, they ask you, they say, where did you get that? Where are you from? Do they do this back in your country? You say, man, you don't even know me. They don't have any problem asking the stranger. If you drive taxi cab, they ask you anything. But subhanAllah, they only ask the people who they sense that they are open. And so part of your ability to make da'wah is that you have to appear to be open and confident. Because what CARE discovered is, one, people know about Islam first by having heard or read something, second, by knowing a Muslim. When they put those two together, they say, you know what? Islam is good. If they only hear about Islam, but they don't know a Muslim, but they heard that Islam is good, but they don't know anybody who's practicing it, when they see the bad example, they say, that's the theory of Islam, but in practice, nobody does that. That would make sense. If you live in America, there are a lot of people who say they're Christian, but when you see what they do, they don't do what Christianity says. So they say, well, Muslims must be like us. Well, alhamdulillah, I accepted Islam because I went to school with people who they were the walking example of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you in this great work of da'wah that Allah informed the Prophet himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will not guide to Islam those whom you love. Allah guides to his path whomever Allah chooses. So the burden is not on you if you convey the message with, as the Quran has described, with hikmah, wisdom, and maw'idah hasana, with a good reminder, good speech. If you're talking to someone about Islam, you should be, subhanAllah, having a good countenance. Use the best example, use the best words. But the result of whether they accept Islam or not is not your business. This is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to invite you, because sometimes we have some words that we use and they have been adopted by our neighbors. Many of them, we invite them in Ramadan, we invite them to come to the masjid, to have iftar with us, to fast during the day. Right now, they're in a period just ended called Lent. The Christians in our neighborhood, and they have a fasting in Lent. If you ask them, what do you do in Lent? They say, well, I gave up chocolate. You know what I'm talking about, brother. I gave up chocolate, or I gave up eating meat, or I gave up something, right? And I'm trying to imitate what Isa ibn Maryam did. This is what they say. You tell them, is that what he really did? They say, we really don't know. You say, well, the Quran has informed us as a guidance from Allah that fasting has been prescribed for you as it has been prescribed for those before you. And to fast like this, from Fajr until Maghrib, abstaining from this. And just like, well, alhamdulillah, the Prophet, we do it, billions of Muslims every year. For 14 centuries, we do it exactly like that. Why don't you come and join us? Try it, experience it. We bring groups that come to the masjid, and alhamdulillah, they come from churches and synagogues and other groups. They want to learn about Islam because they know what they're hearing in the media can't all be true. Because they have had some experience, some knowledge. SubhanAllah, after 9/11, the 9th surah and the 32nd ayah became more meaningful to me. Yuriduna and yudfinur Allah bi afwahihim. They would try, maybe back then they were using their mouth and their poetry to denigrate Islam. Now they use the media. They use the television, radio, newspaper, movies. But Allah said, Yutimu Nur. Allah is going to increase His light. Laukari al kafirun. Now the people are coming to the masjid. They want to learn and see. They bring their young people. And we say to them, come and see Salat. They say, what kind of prayer is this? I said, look in the Bible, in the book of Nehemiah, Old Testament. The prophet, they call Ezra, raised hands to the Lord, and all of the people said, amen. He bowed and prostrated. They're like, wow. I said, yeah, that's what we do. That we are living in the example, subhanAllah. Many of your neighbors, if they don't know that and they don't know you, they won't be guided to this path except that Allah guide them Himself. There are people like that too. But alhamdulillah, I'm inviting you in this period right now. Today is so-called Good Friday. Reach out to your neighbor. Invite them, engage them, ask them questions like they ask you questions. But with the best manner and the best conduct and in a good way. Alhamdulillah, and to share with them our knowledge about all of the Anbiya and their practices, that they might become successful in this life and in the hereafter. Now, alhamdulillah, I wish we had more time to talk about the efficacy of dawah, how to make a very excellent dawah. But I just want to take the burden off your shoulders. Many people will say, Imam, I would like to share my faith with others, but I'm not very knowledgeable. So then try having humility. When there's something that you don't know, say, half of knowledge is to say, I don't know. Because, alhamdulillah, many of them, they'll read, they go to the internet, they'll find out that what you said is not true anyway, right? And some people say, well, Imam, okay, I have some knowledge, but I'm a bad example. SubhanAllah, I'm going to tell you now, in case you don't know, I meet many people who converted to Islam. They had a boyfriend or a girlfriend who was Muslim. From the bad example, they found out what Islam is. They left that situation and became Muslim. They said, Abdullah, I'm sorry, I can't stay with you anymore, but thank you. I used to read the Quran when I came to your house. Alhamdulillah, I'm going to become Muslim, and Assalamu alaikum. Unbelievable. You say, how can this be? Because Allah guides to Allah's path in different ways, however Allah chooses. So if you are not a perfect Muslim, many people are impressed. They say, we asked Fulan, tell me about Ramadan. The first thing he says, well, I'm not fasting. But if you read in the Quran, the second surah, the 183rd ayah, Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. He tells the whole thing just the way it is, even though he's not practicing. But he has enough khawf for Allah that he's not going to lie. That many Muslims will say, I'm not a good example of Islam, but Islam means 1, 2, 3. That, alhamdulillah, people see that and they say, you know what? This has got to be the truth. Because I never met people who indict themselves, but they liberate other people. Let me give you 5 examples of people that you will meet in your da'wah. I like to call them the 5 effects of your da'wah. The first effect is what I call the Hamza effect. The Hamza effect, you will meet someone and you start talking to them about Islam and they say, what? I want to become Muslim right now. They're like, wait a minute, wait. They're like, no, if you're a Muslim, that's what Islam is, I'm in. And Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's how he accepted Islam. He said, if it's good enough for him, I'm with it. Based on knowing him, if he's that, I'm in, I'm down. Second effect, the Abu Talib effect. You will find people that you talk to them about Islam, you share information about Islam with them, they never become Muslim on their dying bed. But they will fight to protect your right to be a Muslim. I can think of people now like John Esposito or Karen Armstrong. When people listen to them talk about Islam, they write books about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accurate. But they themselves, people say, are you a Muslim? They say, no. You say, how could you know all of this and you not be Muslim? They say, well, I'm not, but Islam, the Quran, so and so, is the unadulterated word of Allah. Say, wow. Some of your da'wah, you'll have people like that. You can't understand it. There's a third kind of effect. I call it the Nagashi effect. Where when you reach out to your neighbors who have different faith traditions, the Nagashi of Ethiopia, the Prophet ﷺ sent Ja'far and the companions there, and after they shared with him Surah Al-Maryam, he said, the difference between us and you is no more than a line in the sand. That I respect, even though I have a different religious tradition, I respect Islam as something which came from Allah. The fourth effect, I call the Abu Sufyan effect. If you study Sirah, you know Abu Sufyan at the time of Badr. The Quraysh, they were planning an assault against the Muslims. And they were afraid that their caravan was going to be raided, and Abu Sufyan said, our caravan is safe. He advised the Nadwa that they should not, the Congress at that time of Makkah, advised them, don't attack Muhammad and his people, leave them alone. I'm not one of them, I don't really care to be one of them, but I know this, we should probably leave them alone. There are people who live in our community who they have the Abu Sufyan effect. You make da'wah to them, they learn about Islam and so on, but they're not an advocate, but when someone wants to harm Muslims, they will tell you, I'm sorry. I think Colin Powell might be an example contemporarily. He told them, don't invade let the inspectors do their work. There's no weapon of mass destruction. There's no harm to us. Don't get involved in this war. So someone's effect of da'wah on Colin Powell and his family, bi'ithnillah, they know what Islam is. Now let me tell you, people who are in this category, maybe right now they won't accept Islam. But if political circumstances change, like Abu Sufyan finally accepts Islam, the Nagashi, secretly, he accepted Islam. And we know from the Sirah, he wrote a letter to the Prophet ﷺ which the Prophet shared with his people after his death, maybe it wasn't the right politics for him to come out as the emperor of Ethiopia to say, I converted to Islam, but I will continue to guide my people in ways that are just, but I'm afraid to come out to say publicly, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The fifth outcome, inshallah, is the Abu Lahab effect. Someone who, no matter how much they know that Islam is right, they would rather die than to prove that Islam is wrong. If you know from the Sirah, Abu Lahab, he could have easily have said, okay, Allah's Messenger said, according to the Quran, this guy will never accept Islam. He could have said, I'm going to prove that Islam is wrong by saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Can't do it. You find some, please brothers, come forward. You find some hardcore people, no matter how overwhelming the evidence about Islam is, they are determined they'll never accept it. But alhamdulillah, four out of those five outcomes, when they come together, they create a society that is open and engaging and creates a safe space for us to live and practice our deen. I'm inviting you today, bismillah, especially around the Easter weekend, to make some dawah. To ask your neighbors while they are talking about Isa ibn Maryam, for you to say, we love Isa ibn Maryam. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what it means to live a life that is connected with Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you engage them, bidnillah, many of them, myself included, I know when I was young, I never believed in the Trinity, but I used to go to church. You don't know what people believe until you ask them. And if you engage and you dialogue with them, bidnillah, some of them will say, you know what? I believe what you believe in. Please come forward, brother. There are brothers standing up, they want to pray. Bidnillah, I'm challenging you this weekend, Good Friday, Saturday, Sunday, bidnillah, reach out to your neighbor, don't be shy. Share what you know about Islam. Share the example of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with them, that you might save their life in this life and in the hereafter. I'm grateful to Allah that there were some people who saved my life, who they came to me and said, Assalamu alaikum brother, do you know about Islam? Let me share with you just one thing. Maybe we sit, we have tea, we have coffee, we have an opportunity to get to know one another. And then I discover that these people who say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, they are some of the best people I have never met on earth. Until finally I decided I want to be one of them. Inshallah, may Allah strengthen your ability to make da'wah and to have courage, alhamdulillah, to convey the message with veracity. اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت. O Allah, guide us among those whom you have guided. O Allah, protect us among those whom you have protected. Take us as a friend among those whom you have taken as a friend. O Allah, cause us to stand up and speak out, alhamdulillah, that we might save a life, alhamdulillah, calling them to justice and to peace, ya Allah. O Allah, اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام وتباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. O Allah, we ask, alhamdulillah, that you make us emissaries of your peace, ya Allah. O Allah, that we might spread the peace and the joy and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout our society. O Allah, we ask, alhamdulillah, that you give us the best in this life and the best in the hereafter. That best, ya Allah, is to be connected with you, ya Allah. O Allah, to worship nothing except you. O Allah, to submit our will to nothing except your will. O Allah, and then we ask, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasnatan. وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار أخنا الجنة مع أبرار Ya Aziz, Ya Ghafar, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulil Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amin. Inshallah. Aqulu qawli hadha, astaghfiru li wa lakum. Aqim salah.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Shalala la 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 la.
Yeah.
فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.